Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. If you like our show, please subscribe to us on iTunes. If you don't have an Apple product, you can find us on Android by going to Stitcher, and you can download the Stitcher app to get the Freedom Report podcast every single day. Again, thanks very much for listening. And if you really enjoy the show, please leave us a good review. 5 stars on iTunes with a positive written review helps us go a long way towards advancing the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. And I have a very special guest today who shall remain anonymous because he is in Hong Kong right now. He visited the protest earlier, and he's here to give you his take on what's happening on the ground. Sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Austin.
So you visited the Hong Kong Occupy protests a little bit earlier today. Can you tell us a little bit about what you saw?
I visited today during China's October 1st National Day celebrations. As you may know, as a result of it last weekend, as early as last Friday, the central government has canceled all National Day celebrations, such as the fireworks. It was basically a low-key ceremony with the chief executive, which is the head of the city, and a few city and Chinese officials. Today, when I was visiting the Occupy Hong Kong district, which was in Admiralty, that's where the main occupation is taking place, in the Admiralty district, which is the financial district where the iconic Bank of China building is located, and also there next to Central, where the HSBC and Standard Chartered buildings are located, as a point of reference. Majority of the people were dressed in black to protest the government's lack of real democratic reforms. Groups were mostly university students, mostly secondary school students, and you have a mix of elderly groups, political parties, pro-democratic reform political parties, and some curious tourists. In addition, you had some embedded journalists from CNN, Al Jazeera, and BBC there, just taking notes, interviewing locals, and the curious visitor. And it was quite crowded. It rained the night before, and the volunteers made sure to clean up the area to keep it clean, presentable, and dry for anyone who's sitting in for the protest.
One of the interesting things that we've heard about these protesters, and looking at the pictures and everything online, is how clean they are. You know, they call themselves occupiers, but the Occupy Wall Street protests here in New York City were certainly not so well maintained. So these protesters, what's their attitude? I mean, they seem to be fairly organized. There's lots of students that are doing their homework and all of that, but it doesn't seem to be getting too out of hand. You know, why are these people so friendly?
No, absolutely. Unlike Occupy New York, as you mentioned, it's a lot cleaner. They do use sanitary towels and sanitary sprays to make sure that there are no odors. They have set up temporary areas for people need to go to bathroom. Mm-hmm. As you know, some of the buildings in the area and the management are denying the use of their public bathrooms just in support of the government. And they also have set up sections for recycling bins, so make sure that waste is properly stored and recycled to earn extra income. In addition to that, they were also resupplied with water and snacks, such as cookies, chips, and bottled water. Mm-hmm. Generally, the demeanor has been more positive and more energetic because they needed to present themselves as a nonviolent, as a civil disobedience movement, putting with a strong emphasis on civil, to present to the world that this movement is run by civilized, well-informed individuals that happen to be college students and high school students, and that there is a coherent movement here compared to, say, Occupy Central, which is just a mix of anarchists, hippies, and just an unclear message towards inequality, whereas Occupy Hong Kong, or the Umbrella Revolution, the main goals are as follows. One, to make sure that the central government and the Hong Kong government follow with true, proper universal suffrage instead of a pre-screened arrangement for electing the head of the city's government. Two, they've added this, is to make sure that the current chief executive or the head of city government resigns, since he's under his rule, the city has been mismanaged and has led to protest movements such as the Occupy Hong Kong movement that we're witnessing right now. And then a third goal is to eventually reform the rest of the government to make it completely elected, with its officials fully elected by the people of Hong Kong.
Now, when we hear the word occupy, you know, the first thing I think of is, oh, lefties, socialists, you know, maybe Democrats is the nicest word you could call them. I actually tried to get other people from Hong Kong to join me on the show here, and they refused to do so because they didn't want to speak to a libertarian. They considered themselves all socialists. Would you say most of these people in Hong Kong who are demonstrating right now are socialists?
Ironically, no. Most of these students are actually for democratic reform. Some of them might be from socialist groups. I think one of the politicians there, Leung Kwok Hung, I think Lau Long here, as he's called, he's actually economically left, but he's socially left. So he will agree with you on many of these social issues for individual freedom, human rights, and dignities, but for economics, it's a completely different story.
Right.
There are some groups, Socialist Internet, Socialist Action, that's a political party. There's a Democratic Party, there are free markets for government reform, democracy, and the Civic Party. But for the most part, most of these students are actually for reform, for personal freedom, and for economic freedom that has kept the city full of opportunities for individuals such as myself or the students. And they're worried that as China reels in on the personal and political freedoms, those economic freedoms are going to deteriorate, and that will affect their future, which is why they're taking such drastic measures, such as occupying Admiralty and the Central Districts in Hong Kong Island, such as occupying Mong Kok Kowloon District, and also they're trying to occupy new districts when they're getting enough people and support in Hong Kong. So it's not just those areas. They're actually working on occupying as many critical points as possible.
Okay, so one of the things that I'm hearing that protesters are worried about is that the Chinese army is going to be sent in to crack down, and it might be another Tiananmen Square. Do you worry about that?
There are rumors that the PLA is gearing up a garrison in Shenzhen that will be prepped to move into Hong Kong if they're given the order. There are also confirmed reports that the PLA from their current building, which was formerly the Prince of Wales building, I believe, they're currently monitoring the situation, having their soldiers in binoculars watching the protesters in Admiralty and Central. So while the PLA is carefully monitoring the situation, it's possible that they might move in, God forbid. And the best way to discourage such actions is to make sure that we have live feeds in those districts that are being occupied, that the foreign press is regularly monitoring and interviewing the activists in those areas and ensuring, and at the same time the protesters and the activists have to do what they can to keep the word out on social media, on the internet, and to any like-minded individuals that are willing to share and discuss their stories and their movement and the social movement itself.
So there was an informal online poll from the South China Morning Post, which was an online poll, just so obviously it was informal there, but it was inspired by a recent referendum about the Falkland Islands. And it showed that 92% of their readers who voted think that Hong Kongers would prefer to return to British rule. Do you think that that's accurate?
That's accurate in the sense that it reflects the views of most of the SCMP readers. And it's also telling that even though Hong Kong was run by governors appointed by Westminster, somehow once it returned to Chinese control after 1997, when they switched to an arrangement where the current head of the city was elected by a committee of 1,200 elite locals or individuals who have ties with the central government, that the city has actually gotten worse, or it's been perceived to be worse, even though it's gone back to Chinese rule. So it's just telling to the rest of the world that, yes, Hong Kong did return to China. It's supposed to be great since they moved away from the colonial era, but somehow China has managed to make the situation or the quality of life seem so bad that people would rather go back to being under control of London than stay under the influence of and guidance of the central government in Beijing.
A lot of people who are watching this situation unfold are, you know, worried about the potential for the outbreaking of violence. They worry about a potential situation like Tiananmen Square. If the Chinese government does crack down, how confident are you that the citizens of Hong Kong who seem to be fairly kind and kindly, how confident are you that they wouldn't back down? Or do you think that if the soldiers move in, that the citizens of Hong Kong will move out?
Anyone that has a second passport, such as a Canadian, Australian, British, or even an American passport, will get out if they can, especially if they have families and they don't have any means to defend themselves. They will try to get out. Anyone that doesn't have a second passport and are just simply Hong Kong citizens or Chinese citizens with an upgraded Hong Kong passport will probably do what they can to fight, resist, or evade the authorities with maybe mixed results. And anyone who just complies with the new system or whatever happened or whatever results from the crackdown will simply be rewarded with better job, better pay, or no threats from the government. So it's really hard to say at this point, and I hope it doesn't reach that situation. For the expats, they will simply leave. They'll simply transfer to either the Singapore office, to the Korea, to the Seoul office in Korea, or to the Tokyo office in Japan. And whoever's left over is going to have to deal with the consequences. And in the long term, that will be the beginning of the end of Hong Kong as a major world city in the region.
And what kind of gun laws do you have in Hong Kong?
Only the police can own guns. You can probably get guns illegally, but that's under the control of organized crime. The closest things we have to guns are just airsoft guns, like BB guns. So you can buy an M16 airsoft gun painted in black, maybe having the same materials. Instead of shooting bullets, it just shoots pellets. So there are really no gun laws. The police have guns, but they're just revolvers. And maybe some AR-15s, like what that was used in the weekend.
So how do you see this all shaking out in the end?
Best case scenario, the current chief executive, C.Y. Leung, resigns. His second-in-command, Carrie Lam, takes over. And she actually tries to have some show negotiations with the activists for reform, which will not go anywhere. And the central government can save face by saying they got rid of the problem. Everything under Hong Kong went horribly wrong under C.Y. Leung's management. And they've made some steps to rectify the situation, and they will be more, they'll listen better to their citizens in Hong Kong just to keep them, just to continue the guidance and development as they reintegrate into the motherland. Worst case scenario, C.Y. Leung still keeps his job. The PLA comes and works with the police, anyone who's willing to work with the PLA, to start dispersing the protesters. Probably won't use live fire, probably stick with rubber bullets, tear gas, mass arrests, and maybe censoring some internet, maybe blocking some discussions on the internet, and Yeah, that will probably bring concern to the business leaders of Hong Kong who might make plans to relocate their staff to Singapore, other parts of Asia, or even Shanghai, which is planned to become the major financial center of China at the expense of Hong Kong.
Very interesting. Well, I really appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for coming on the show today, and good luck out there.
Yeah, thanks to you, Austin.